Good morning, and welcome to our Sunday morning service here this Lord's Day, and looking forward to what God's going to do. Glad that you're able to join us wherever you're at today. I trust that today would be a blessing to you as we look at God's Word and be encouraged through His things. Let's go ahead and begin with song, hymn number 46, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Crown Him with Many Crowns today without the piano due to some sickness, but we're trusting that God will still continue to use the song service just as well. Hymn number 46, Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll do the first and the fourth verses. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known. One with the Spirit through Him give from His eternal throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified. God, thank you so much for allowing us to be with you this morning. God, I thank you that we can worship you and no separation gets in the way of that. Certainly it is a detriment a little bit that we cannot be together. But Lord, thank you that we can still meet at a same time, maybe in a different place, but in the same Spirit, under the same Word, under the same God. God, thank you so much. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. And Lord, may your name be honored and glorified and magnified today. Thank you. Lord, would you please help us as we worship you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, jump ahead 100 pages to 146. Here we have the song, God is Love. I'm going to be speaking on the topic of love this evening. And I trust that you'll join us for our evening service tonight. But God is love. May we never forget the importance of God's love. Hymn 146. I'm going to read all three verses of this song. Come sing the praise of Christ, our living Lord. God is love. God is love. Lift every voice and sing in one accord. God is love. God is love. He left His glory for you and me, and shed His blood upon the tree, so we might live eternally. God is love. God is love. Praise to the Lamb who takes our sin away. God is love. God is love. And gives us strength to live for Him each day. God is love. God is love. Our praise and worship to Him belong. His everlasting arms are strong. To Him we raise our grateful song. God is love. God is love. Jesus alone can meet the sinner's need. God is love. God is love. For you and me He lives to intercede. God is love. God is love. So rich in mercy and great in grace, in heaven He prepares a place where someday we will see His face. God is love. God is love. Good song. Back to 87 under His wings. 87 under His wings. Excuse me. All right, 87 under His wings. We'll do the first and the third verses. Under his wings I am safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust him, I know he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his child. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment! There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. All right. Very good. Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles. And let's go ahead and look at our first message for today. It's a message that I was thinking through this week. I have, just in all that we're going through, I have been wondering about, but it was brought to my attention that during this time, there's a lot of turmoil. People are going through difficult times, some because of loss of jobs, and of course, finances are maybe a struggle. Some, it's maybe just being in a different environment, home all day, not used to being there and normally going to work and doing things like that and feeling like there's nothing to do and all kinds of things that are changed and turned around these days. And as a result of that, there are the crime rate has gone up. People are discouraged. There's more drinking. There's more drugs. There's more suicide. There's a lot going on during this time. With that comes emotions. There's fear. There's worry. There's struggle. There's so much. And so I've been wondering and thinking through, should I preach a message on fear? Are the people at Faith Bible Church afraid? Are they worried? So this morning, I don't know exactly where you're at. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not worried. I've got trusting Jesus, and I say, praise the Lord. But yet, although maybe you're doing okay, there are others that are struggling, others that are worried. This morning, I would like to address the topic of worry. We're going to look at a certain passage and see what Jesus says about worry. And I want to tell you folks out there, if you're worrying this morning, this is not going to be a hard message on you and how you're wrong and how you need to get right. Although I will say it is wrong. It's a sin. But are you worried today? I trust that the passage of Scripture that has been chosen will certainly be a blessing to you. You see, friends, there's no need to worry. If you'd take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Here we have the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is teaching them concerning kingdom things. What a Christian, what a believer is supposed, how he's supposed to act in God's kingdom. And certainly it's applicable to our lives right now as we know how to live our lives as a Christian. And so join with me in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, and which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God, would you help me in the next few moments that I can share this passage of Scripture that I believe will be a blessing and a help to those people out there today that are tempted or struggling with worry. God, help us not to worry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to see here the phrase or the word thought is used many times. He says, take no thought. What does that phrase mean, take no thought? The word thought is anxiety. He says, take no thought, or don't be anxious, or to be troubled with cares. Don't worry. Don't worry, Jesus says. That's what a Christian is supposed to do, not to worry. We're not supposed to struggle with our lack of, or what's going to happen, or what if. God says, don't worry. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled. I want you to see this morning from this passage four things to consider about God. Four things to consider about God and His character that will help you with worry. Number one, consider His creation. Consider His creation. Now, from this passage, there's a number of, a couple points of His creation. We see them in verse 26 and 28. Look at verse 26, and here we have the first element, and that is the animal creation. The animal creation. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? All right, so first of all, Jesus uses the illustration of his creation with the animal creation. He says, there's no need to worry, and I want you to consider the animals. Consider the birds, the fowls of the air. And so he gives this example of the fowls, the birds, and notice what they cannot do. Well, they cannot sow. You know, a bird doesn't go and plant a garden in hopes that there's going to be a reaping later. And with that, there is no reaping. A bird doesn't live that way for his food. A bird cannot store up his food for later use, maybe just a touch, but not in any mass quantities. A bird doesn't store up for the rest of his life and go to his storehouse. They must live every day from hand to mouth, from foot to mouth, hand to mouth, they live. You know, when that bird wakes up in the morning, and I don't know really much about animals and birds. I don't know, does a bird sleep? But when a bird understands that it's time to eat, you know, a bird doesn't just go to his refrigerator and open it up and say, ah, let's see, what did I buy this week at the grocery store? What did I get at the market this week? Oh, yes, I forgot. I bought these nice nuts or these nice seeds or these little twigs here. There's my store of worms that I purchased yesterday at the grocery store or wherever you buy these worms. You know, the bird doesn't have that. You know, the bird is there in the nest or where on the branch or in the tree, wherever the bird is at. And when it's time to eat, the bird goes out and gets what's available. He does do some work. He goes out and looks for it, but he gets it, brings it back, and eats it or feeds it to the small birds. And, you know, that's the way the bird lives. The bird doesn't sit there in his nest worrying and wondering where his next meal is going to be. He just trusts that the meal is out there, flies away, it finds it relatively quickly, it puts it in its mouth, it goes back to the nest, and it either eats it itself or it gives it to its small birds. What's Jesus' point here? You know, he says here that the birds, you know, the fowls of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. But yet, does God take care of those birds? Indeed, he does. He takes care of them. I want you to think just for a moment what it would be like living like the birds. You know, some of us take security in our grocery stores. Some of us take security in our freezers, in our refrigerators. I know that when I wake up tomorrow, there's going to be breakfast there. I know that there's going to be lunch. I know that there's going to be supper. I know that there's going to be a snack. You see, as humans, we plan and we have these storehouses that we can go to. Yet the bird has nothing like that. And yet the bird trusts every day, I'm going to go out. I have not seen a bird yet wake up in the morning and sit there on the branch, you know, with a frowny face, just wondering and worrying and crying. You know, I don't know if I don't have anything. I don't know if I can find it. Is God going to provide today? I hope so. No, the bird just automatically trusts. It's in his nature. It's in her nature that there's food out there and God is going to provide. And God provides for every one of those birds. Can you imagine living like the bird? You know, no more grocery stores, no more refrigerators, no more. Every day you had to wake up and you had to go outside and find your food. You know, maybe a long time ago that's what they had to do. But honestly, we don't live that way anymore. God says, I want you to consider my creation. One of these birds is just a bird. They cannot do much for themselves. And yet, don't I, Christian, take care of their every need every single day? I want you, Christian, this morning to consider that. Isn't God faithful with every one of his birds? And you have to admit, indeed, he is. God is faithful to every bird. I wonder how many birds are out there. How many birds are in the world? There's a lot of birds. Lots of birds that are out there. And God takes care of every one of them. Christian, God wants you to consider this morning his creation. Consider his animal creation. God takes care of every one of those animals. And notice what is said. Are ye not much better than they? Honestly, folks, on Wednesday nights, we looked at this a while back, but it is so true. We, as humans, are made in God's image. We have been given him his self. God has placed within humanity something different than the animal world. And that's his nature. God cares and loves people more than the animals. We are made after him. He has placed himself with us. If God cares more about us, and yet he takes care of the birds so well, Don't we think that he can take care of our needs? Honestly, folks, we could live like the birds and trust that God is going to provide for our needs. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go home and throw out your refrigerators and your freezers and go out and look in your yard for the next day's food. God has given us those tools that we can use. But I want to tell you something, that even if you didn't have, God is still big enough to take care of your needs. Wow, that's good. So we consider the animal creation. We consider the animal creation. Let's look at the plant creation. Look at verses 28 and 29. And why take ye thought for raiment? So now he moves from food to clothing. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Have you ever taken a moment to pick a flower or to bend over and look closely at a beautiful flower? I mentioned on Wednesday night in that prayer service that I don't know that I've ever thoroughly enjoyed the springtime like I have this year. I am not an observant kind of a person. Certainly I see the trees, I see the flowers, I see the blooms every year, but I've not ever taken so much notice. Yet this year, for some reason, I don't know why, I have taken more a noting of those flowers and the beauty of that, and I just say, wow. Incredible flowering trees, incredible blooming bushes and flowers and trees. I love it. I'm enjoying it. And I love the fall the most. My wife is trying to convince me that the spring is better. And I don't know if it's totally convinced me yet, but it's working. I'm starting to thoroughly enjoy the spring because of just the beauty of it. Have you ever taken a moment to look at the beauty of God's creation in the flowers? Absolutely amazing at some of the colors, some of the intricacies, some of the small detail of some of these flowers. You know, there are photographers out there. Ezekiel's messed around a little bit with this and taken very close-ups of some small flowers and the little tiny petals and the little seeds and stuff that are growing on the inside, and yet there's different colors and variations to it. How beautiful these flowers are clothed. Amazing how God clothes these. And yet these flowers don't go to the department stores. These flowers don't get online and shop on Amazon Prime to get their clothes delivered to them, and they don't have to do work. In fact, this passage says, you know, that they toil not. You know, they toil not, and yet they grow. Yet they're clothed, and they're clothed beautifully, wonderfully, amazingly, the clothing that these flowers have. You know, beautiful creation that God made with the flowers. You know, God even compares it to Solomon and Solomon's temple and the place where Solomon abode. Beautiful, and some of the most majestic places in all of history was Solomon and what he had. And yet God says that even Solomon and how he lived and how he in his temple, God has clothed the lilies of the field in his creation greater than that. It says they don't toil. They don't make those clothes for themselves. You know, a lily doesn't wake up in the morning and pull out a sewing machine and start to spin and start to spin that yarn and have to make those materials and then put it into the whatever machine and put it through and crochet or, you know, take the needle. It doesn't have to spin. It doesn't have to sew. You know what? That lily doesn't do anything, and yet it has the beautiful clothing that's greater than anything in the world. Have you ever thought for a moment that the lily doesn't have to worry? And yet the lily really can't do anything of itself. I would even say a greater illustration than the bird. You know, the bird at least has to go fly somewhere and gather. But what can a lily do of itself? Nothing. There is no ability within that lily of itself. But God. A good phrase in the scriptures. But God. God is the one that does the work. God is the one that clothes these lilies. Does God take care of these lilies? He sure does. And you who have eternal life, as opposed to such a short life that today is and tomorrow is gone. You who have been given eternal life, friends, do we have really to worry how God is going to clothe us from day to day? And he says at the end of verse 30, O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Let's go to the second point. We certainly see his ability to clothe us and take care of us and feed us through his creation. I want you to see, second of all, his control. His control. Go to verse 25. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You see, my friends, hear what he's saying here, that God is the giver of life. Isn't the life more? Life itself is more than food, is more than clothes. And yet, who was the giver of life? Well, God is. And if God can give life, if God had the power to create life, cannot God sustain his lives that are out there? Oh, of course he can. He, again, you say, again, I quote this verse, Colossians 1, 17, and he is before all things in creation, and by him all things consist. If God can create life, God can maintain life and consist in life and keep you going. He has the ability to feed you. He has the ability to clothe you. And the many other things that we are anxious about, God can take care of those things. One commentator said, will he who gave us our life and our body fail to add the little food and the clothing we need? But look in verse 27, if that wasn't enough. He asks a question, excuse me, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, which one of us who desires to be taller can take time to think and think really hard and think really hard, I want to grow taller, I want to grow taller, I want to grow taller. Which one of us can think really hard and add something to our stature? Now, let me pause and say the word thought here is the same as what I started with. It's not so much just think, it's to worry and to be careful of and to be so concerned of. Oh, I just got to grow. I just have to get bigger, and I have to do this, and we're so concerned about it, and we're concerned about our growing, and yet, you know what? We can't do really anything about growing. I can't stretch myself. But I'll tell you, there's more than that to this phrase here in this passage. Honestly, what I think is the better interpretation, not interpretation, but the meaning of this. It's not so much, the word stature here can mean two things. Yes, it can talk about growing, but it also talks in the scripture about the longevity of life. What he's really saying here is not, and it, I think that, both can apply. Can you worry so much and be so concerned that you can grow yourself? No. But he's also saying this. He's saying, which of you can do things of your own to prolong life? Now, some of you stop and you think to yourself, and you're thinking, you know, well, of course I can do things. I can eat healthy, and I can exercise, and I can take my vitamins, and I can not fly on airplanes, and I can be very safe, and I can stay at home, and I can do this, and I can do that, and that's going to prolong my life. And I stop and say, really? For whose hands is your life in? The scriptures teach very clearly, to everything there is a season, a time to be born and a time to die. The Bible teaches, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die. You know what this verse is saying? He's saying, which of you, and by the way, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is already given and implied. None of you. Which of you, taking thought or care, can add one cubit to his height or many years to his life? The answer, none of us. You say, Pastor, so does that mean if I eat healthy, that doesn't mean I'm going to live longer? Now, can I stop and take a time out? I believe God has made us stewards of our bodies, that we do what He wants us to do and to deal with them properly and be good stewards. I need to take care of my body. I ought to eat food that's going to give me the energy. I ought to take care of it so it doesn't fall apart, so that I'm not always sick. God has given us a responsibility to do it, just like He gave the birds the responsibility to fly out and gather the food. But can I say this, that your diet is not going to prolong your life. If your life is prolonged, it's because God is the one that prolongs it. And that is a lesson that we all need to understand. Yes, there is something to taking care of your body. Yes, there is something to being a good steward of that body. But God is the one that's in control of that body, and there is an appointed time, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with what you eat. Now, I know that there's some health people out there that are like, what is he saying? Are you telling me that I can go out and eat Twinkies all of my life, and I can live to be? Well, I'll say this, it's not going to be good for your health, and I don't think you'll be a good steward of the body that God has given to you, but I want to say this, that your life is not determined by your Twinkies. Or your lack of. Your life is determined by a good God that is going to keep you alive however long He keeps you. And I know that there are many people out there that might have a problem with what I just said. You know, because statistics and studies show that if you eat this amount of food for this amount of time, that it's going to shorten your life. And I understand that food is bad for us. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that our lives is in control by God. And that's why the healthiest person can have a heart attack and still die when they're young, and the unhealthiest person can live for a very long time and they ate so unhealthy. By illustration, I had my great-grandmother that lived in New Mexico. I remember as a young child being able to go visit her in New Mexico. My great-grandmother was not the healthiest individual. Oh, she made these pies. I still remember those pies. I don't know if my parents or my grandparents will be watching this, but I don't know if my parents would remember. Maybe my dad would. Certainly my grandparents would remember. But I would go, when I went to New Mexico, I remember these pies, these special pies that my great-grandmother made. They were good. She made some good food and some other things. I want to tell you that my great-grandmother, on my dad's side, and my grandfather, she did not eat healthy. Oh, if I could go into detail of some of the types of foods that they ate and all the different things, there was no health. Yet my grandmother lived to, I think it was 104 or so. You know, and I scratch my head and I say, how does that happen? I don't know. And yet I still am going to make healthy choices to do what I feel I need to do to keep my body healthy. But I want to tell you something, that our lives are in control by God Almighty. And that verse is saying, which of you is in control of your stature? Which of you is in control of the length of life? And the answer is none of us are. God is, and we can trust God. Be good stewards. Go out and get the food. Go and do what you're supposed to do. Use the tools that God has given to you. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, you're trusting in God to take care of all of this. We have to trust in God. He is in control. Take no thought. Don't worry. Don't care so much. We have to. God has your entire life in absolute control. There's no need to worry. Thirdly, I want you to consider His integrity. His integrity. We have His creation. We have His control. We have His integrity. Look at verse 30. Verse 30. How does He end verse 30? He says, O ye of little faith. Faith in what? Faith in our health system? Faith in the food? Faith in the clothing stores? Faith in God. Faith in God and who He is. Faith in God for what He has said. Faith in God for what He has done. And God says, O ye of little faith, will you not trust me for who I have told you that I am? Would you consider this morning the integrity of God? God has already done it in the past. He has taken care of you in the past. He has provided for you in the past. He has protected you in the past. And God is God that is always the same. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Can we not trust in His integrity? Oh, ye of little faith. Little faith. It's all that's required is little faith. I want you to see lastly, His love. His love for us. Look at verse 32. Now, He says in parentheses, for after all these things, that would be the clothing and the food and the worries and the physical concerns of life, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles here are referring to all non-Jewish people. This would be, in their minds, probably the, doesn't mean that all Gentiles are pagan, but in their minds, the pagan, the non-Jewish, in again, their minds, the non-Christian people. Although we understand that just because you're not a Jew doesn't mean you're not a Christian. In fact, there's nothing to, has nothing to do with that. But He says even all those in there, with what He's trying to say, all those ungodly people out there, they are the ones that seek after all of that. They care so much about their clothes. They care so much about their food. They are just going crazy about it. They run crazy to try to, you know, make sure that that's taken care of. And they worry and they're afraid of it. And oh no, what's going to happen? By the way, folks, the world is scared today. They live in fear. But that's not the life that a Christian needs to have. It's not. We don't have to be afraid. You know, can I say this in all due respect? I think that we ought to take care of ourselves even during this time of pandemic. I think we ought to be careful where we go and what we do. I think we ought to be careful to, I think we can overprotect ourselves. I really do. I think we can be overprotective and not let the way God has made our bodies to resist certain things. I think we can, but I think we ought to be protective, certainly. We ought to protect but I want to tell you folks, listen to this. God is in control of your health and your you know, you're getting sick as well. I do believe we need to be good stewards, but you can trust God. You don't need to be afraid. You see, the world is afraid of death. The world is afraid of destruction. The world is afraid, but that ought not be characteristic of the Christian, because we have a good God that is the Creator. We have a good God We have the good God that's the Creator. He's a good God that, where's my second point? We have a good God that is in control. Thirdly, we have a good God that we can trust His integrity. And can I say this? Fourthly, we have a good God that loves us. So the world is worried about all those things. The world doesn't know that God's in control and He is who He is. But notice, for your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of all these things. He knows. And can I say this? He cares. He knows what you need. He knows that you don't want to get sick. He knows that you have clothing needs. He knows. And with this, folks, this comes this point of knows. He cares about it. He's going to take care of it. He wants to. Don't we trust God in His love? That He's going to watch over us? You know, a parent cares. There have been certain times as I'm a parent to five children and they worry about certain things and they live in fear of certain things, and I look down at that child and I say, listen, don't you think that we care about that? We're taking care of that. We're monitoring that. We're watching that. I'm not saying that I'm in control, son or daughter, but we're watching. We care. We love you. We're not just going to let you wander off and die. We're not going to let you go uncared for. You know, and to a parent, that could almost be, you're not trusting me. It could be hurtful. I wish that they would just trust me. But I want you to think about a good God. Don't you think that God cares for you and He loves you and wants you to trust Him? Don't we think that God loves us and cares enough? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And certainly God showed us that love and care when He sent Jesus to die on the cross. One commentator said this, worry is not a trivial sin, because it strikes a blow both at God's love and His integrity. Worry declares our Heavenly Father to be untrustworthy in His word and His promises. Worry is characteristic of unbelief. Now, as I close, my point was not to preach hard at you and say, you're wrong, sinner. But I want to encourage you, folks, God is in control. He is caring. He's loving. He is a God of integrity. He's a God of creation. You can trust Him and you don't need to worry. Let's trust Him today. Let's be different. Let's be salt and light in a world that is worried and fearful. Let's trust the Lord. God, thank You for what You've given to us today. May we be people that trust You and not worry. Lord, help people today that this would be encouragement to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, folks, take this and let it help you where you're at. Trust you'll have a good afternoon today. Come back again this evening and join us as we look at something that I think will be helpful about charity and what's important for us in our ministry as we serve the Lord. So we'll see you here in just a while this evening. Thank you.